Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross Hand Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. If you want to find this program for free on the internet, you can go to crossandthrone.com and download and listen at your leisure. Well, for those of you who have been anxiously awaiting, we are continuing our series on Romans. And by the way, today I'm using new recording equipment, so let me know how it sounds. Well, we picked up last time in Romans, and I'm just going to read Romans chapter 3, verse 21, and a couple verses afterwards and go back and make, well, I'm going to make comments as I go here, just to back up. Romans 3, 21 to 28 is the opening up of the evangel of the grace of God. In Romans 3, 21 through 28, we see Paul bringing out the teaching of justification like it has never been brought out before. And here it is, Romans 3:21, yet now. Now that phrase is significant, it is historical. In verse 20 of Romans 3, we learn that through law is the recognition of sin. God gave the law to man, to Israel in the Hebrew scriptures, and it was something for them to aim at. The word law means to aim. The law is holy, just, and good. We're not saying the law is bad. But it was something that sinful man had to aim at. And through the law was the knowledge or recognition of sin. Through aiming is the recognition of missing. And that's what happened. Mankind is in Adam. They have fallen through Adam, to use that term. I know the Bible doesn't use the word fall, but it's a accommodation. We're used to saying it. Romans 5:12 says that through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And so man is born this way, and law only showed, gave us a recognition of missing or sin. Verse 21, yet now, apart from law. Now imagine Paul saying this, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, saying apart from law. Apart from anything that man can do. Apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. So first we learn about God. It's God's righteousness, and it's manifest. It's brought out into view, and it's being attested by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets attest to God's righteousness, and we'll get into that a little later. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith, not our faith, it's through His faith, for all and on all who are believing. For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. All sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. Now, verse 24, here's where we left off last time. Being justified gratuitously in His grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. God justifies a man today gratuitously. It's without anything on his part. Now, the word justification is interesting. It's not forgiveness. People talk about forgiveness. Justification is so much beyond forgiveness. If you and I were standing in a room together, and I and a bunch of people were standing around us, and I said to you, I forgive you, and people are going to look and think, well, what did that guy do? You get the drift? If you and I are standing in a room of people, and I'm talking to you, and everyone around us is just standing there, and I say to you, I forgive you, and the other people are listening, they're going to, first thing that's going to come to their mind is, what did that person do wrong? But in the scriptures, justification, if you're justified, it means you did something right. If you go to court and you're justified, that means you never did anything wrong. God justifies us. See, this is beyond forgiveness. This is not just clearing a new slate, or cleaning things up. This is God giving you a new standing. You are justified. You are declared righteous by God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? May we proclaim this teaching, justification. Now notice what else it says, gratuitously. Now this term gratuitously is interesting. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 25. And we read this in John 15, 25. It says, yet now they have also seen also, and they have hated me as well as my Father. But it is that the word written in their law may be fulfilled, that they hate me gratuitously. The Lord Jesus was hated gratuitously. What does that mean? That means there was no reason for them to hate him. The Lord Jesus was a wonderful Savior. He came for them, and they hated him gratuitously. There was nothing in the Lord Jesus that should have drawn out that hatred. He did everything, but he loved them, and came to give himself for them, and they hated him gratuitously as for nothing. Another use of this word is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. And 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8 says, "For you yourselves are aware how you must be imitating us. For we are not disorderly among you, neither do we eat bread gratuitously from anyone, but with toil and labor we are working night and day so as not to be burdensome to any of you." Now, if you look at that word gratuitously there in 2 Thessalonians 3, we see it that it is the opposite of gratuitous in 2 Thessalonians 3 is toil and labor and working. So what is gratis, when something is gratis, gratuitous, it is the opposite of toil and labor. Think about that. We are justified without toil or labor or working. You and I can't do anything. God has to declare us righteous. Justification is something God declares. You and I just stand there and are the objects of a declaration. Isn't that amazing truth? We are declared righteous by God. We're justified gratuitously. Now, one thing I want you to think about. In Romans 3:23, I'm reading from the Concordant Version. It says, "For there is no distinction, for all sin and are wanting of the glory of God, being justified." Notice there's no gap. There's nothing between those verses. The very same moment we're wanting of the glory of God, in other words, we lack God's standard, glory has the thought of who God is on display. You and I fall short of that. We don't deserve Him. We don't deserve Him. The very same moment you and I are falling short or wanting of the glory of God, the same moment we're justified. No works or time bridge the gap. The same moment we are wanting of the glory of God, the same moment we are justified. So we're justified gratuitously in His grace. Grace is God's motivation. Grace is all that God does for us solely, and the only motivation is His own heart. And He can do that without violating His own character of holy and righteous because of what Christ accomplished. You see that? So we're justified gratuitously in His grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Now notice this. The term deliver. We're delivered. Delivered from what? Well, the scripture says that we're all under sin. Romans 3 verse 9, as we saw earlier, that we previously charged both Jews and Greeks to be all under sin. We're under missing. In other words, we're always missing the mark, but we're delivered out of that. God has delivered us through the deliverance which is in the church? No. Through the deliverance which is in baptism? No. Through the deliverance which is in keeping the commandments? No. Through the deliverance which is through your cleaning up your life? No. Through the deliverance which is through turning over a new leaf? No. It's through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, in a person, in somebody, in a person, Christ Jesus, the exalted one. Isn't that a glorious truth? Have you really thought about this? This is the evangel of the grace of God. This is God's evangel concerning His Son, as we pointed out in Romans 1. This is His good news concerning all about His Son. And this is a wonderful truth. God is just. God acts in justifying. He does the justifying. And man is the object of the act. So he's acted upon when justified. You and I do nothing. This is a great truth. And when God does the act of justifying, it is grounded on the fact that He is just and so acting. Why is He just? Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. So, this is the great truth. And I encourage every one of you to ponder these things. This is the motivation for service, for wanting to serve Him and to please God. Think about this. God has declared you righteous. He's removed all barriers. We have peace with God. And now what? I mean, you're out there struggling in your life. Some of you have problems and home and marriage. Listen, grace, if you let it, will speak to your heart. And notice, and I'm going to tell you what grace does in Titus chapter 1. Just going off the cuff here. But here, In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says this, "For the saving grace of God made its advent to all humanity, training us that..." What does grace train us? See, you have to... grace trains us. "Training us that..." I love that word, training. Grace is training. You might think of Rocky. You know, na 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 na. You're out there training, right? Grace trains you. It puts you on a training program. You're not saved through training, but training, grace puts you on a training program. It trains us that disowning irreverence and worldly desires. Think about that. Irreverence, that's irreverence toward God, and worldly desires. In other words, desires that are contrary to God's purpose. And how do we know what worldly desires are? We go to the scriptures. Some have the idea that worldly desires are living in the world. Well, that's not it. Worldly desires are desires that are contrary and are harmful to us, and we need to study the scriptures to find out what those are. It says it training us that disowning irreverence and worldly desires, we should be living. See, grace teaches us to live, friends. It gives us life. It makes us get up in the morning and do our jobs better, be better husbands, be better fathers and employers and employees. It trains us that we should be living sanely, justly, and devoutly in the current eon. I know that's hard to do, brethren, but grace puts us on a training program. Anticipating that happy expectation. What is our happy expectation? Even the advent of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So grace puts us on a training program that we should live in such a way while we're anticipating the happy expectation. We can look back and see, according to Romans 3, what Christ accomplished. We see where we're going in the future. And what do we do in the meantime? We live in the way Paul is telling us to live here, anticipating this great event. Friends, think about this. You once fell short of God's glory. You were wanting of it, but now you're justified. Shouldn't it be a wonderful thing that we want to walk worthy of our calling? So it says we're anticipating the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us, that he should be redeeming us from all lawlessness. That's lawless. What is lawless? Living without laws. Having nothing to follow. We're not lawless people. We're not lawless. We want to do what God says. We want to obey his word, because we're saved by grace, redeeming us from all lawlessness and be cleansing, there it is, for himself a people to be about him. We're all about God. We're all about our Savior. Zealous for ideal acts. Let's be zealous for ideal acts. Let's look at what the accomplishments of Christ are and go on forward. This is what grace does to us. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. To learn more, you can listen to these programs again at crossandthrone.com. And go there and listen to these great, I was going to say great programs. I don't mean that I'm great. I'm saying the substance is great. We're speaking about Christ. You can go back and listen to these programs, study them, and live, friends, live. Enjoy all that God has done for you and what is coming for us. If you want to keep this program going, consider supporting us at crossandthrone.com electronically, or send your help to Cross and Throne Ministries, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Until next time, remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.